Is there much more in it than he is there much more in it than he said yesterday? Yeah, no, I'd say if for the prototype, if we just like wherever possible, chunk in the stuff that we have pre-annotated and stuff, and for the stuff that we don't have pre-annotated, write like a stupid baseline, then we should probably be able to. Basically, that means we focus on the interface first, sort of, so that we take the ready-made parts and just see how we get them work together in the interface the way we want it, and then we have a working prototype, and then we can go back and replace pieces either by our own components or by more sophisticated components of our own. So it's probably feasible. Thing is, I'm away this weekend, so that's for me. Oh yeah, no, but also like the similarity thing, like my matrix itself for my stuff. I think I can do that fairly quickly because I have the algorithms. Yeah, I think today's meeting is really the one where we sort of settle down the data structure, and as soon as we have that, probably like after today's meeting, we then actually need to, well, go back first of all and look at Knight XML to see how far that which we want is compatible with that which Knight XML offers us, and then just sort of everyone make sure everyone understands the interface. So I think if today we decide on what data we want to have now, and later maybe even today we go and look at Knight XML, or some of us look at Knight XML in a bit more detail, just trying to make some sense of that code and see how does the representation work in their system. And then sort of with that knowledge, we should be able to then say, okay, that type of Knight XML data we want to load into it, and this is how everyone can access it. And then we should be able to go from there. No. I've looked at the documentation and like seen enough to make me think that if you want to use the Knight XML framework because they have a good event model that synchronizes sort of the data and every display element, so that takes a lot of work away from us. Sort of that would be a reason for staying within their framework and using their general classes. But beyond that, I haven't looked at it at all, which is something we should really do. Who actually, like, for this whole discussion, I mean, who of us is doing stuff that is happening online, and who of us is doing stuff that's happening offline? Like, my data is coming. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So basically, apart from the display module, the display itself, we don't have an extremely high degree of interaction between sort of our modules that create the stuff and the interface. So the interface is mainly, while it's running, just working on data that's just loaded from a file, I guess. Isn't no, yeah, the search is, I guess the search is sort of a strange beast anyway, because for the search we're leaving the Knight XML framework. But that's still sort of, that's good. That means that at least like we don't have the type of situation where somebody has to do like a billion calculations on data online. 'Cause that would make it a lot more, like that would mean that our interface for the data, we would have to be a lot more careful about how it performs and everything. And nobody is modifying that data at online time at all, it seems. Nobody is making any changes to the actual data online. So that's actually making it a lot easier. That basically means our browser really is a viewer mostly, which isn't doing much with the data except for sort of selecting a piece of it and displaying it. Well, some parts relevant for the search, yes. I'd say so. Yeah, but nobody of us is doing much of searching from the data in the online stage. And for altogether, like the display itself, I think we are easier if it's sitting on the XML than if it's sitting on the SQL stuff. Because if it's sitting on the XML, we have the Knight XML framework with all its functionality for synchronizing through all the different levels whenever there's a change, whenever something's moving forward and stuff, and we can just more or less look at their code, like how their player moves forward and how that moving forward is represented in different windows and stuff. So I think in the actual browser itself, I don't want to sit on the SQL if we can sit on the XML, because sitting on the XML we have so much help. And for like the calculations that we're doing, apart from the search, it seems everyone needs some special representations anyway. You mean our results? Yeah, in the Knight XML format, so with the timestamps and stuff, so that it's easy to tie together things. What we have to think about is if we go with this multi-level idea, like this idea that sort of if you start with a whole meeting series as one entity, as one thing that you display, as one whole sort of, that then the individual chunks are the individual meetings, whereas, and then you can click on a meeting, and then sort of the meeting is the whole thing, and the chunks are the individual segments. That means sort of we have multiple levels of representation, which we probably, if we do it this way, like we have to discuss that if we do it this way, then we should probably find some abstraction model so that the interface, in the sense like, deals with it as if it's the same, so that the interface doesn't really have to worry whether it's a meeting in the whole meeting series or a segment within a meeting, you know what I mean? And there's probably stuff that we have to sort of like process twice then, like for example that like the summary of a meeting within the whole meeting corpus or meeting series. Is meeting series a good word for that? I don't really know how to call it. You know what I mean? Like not the whole corpus, but every meeting that has to do with one topic. So in the meeting series, so that a summary for a meeting within the meeting series is sort of compiled offline by a summary module, and that is separate from a summary of a segment within a meeting. Because I don't think we can. So are we doing that at all levels? Are we and just have different like fine grainedness levels sort of. So the only thing that Yeah, so the only thing that would happen basically if I double click, let's say from the whole meeting series on a single meeting, is that the zoom level changes, like the start and the end position changes and the zoom level changes. I thought we couldn't do that. Like I was under the impression that we couldn't do that because we couldn't load the data for all that. But I don't know, I mean that. So I'm not sure if I got it. Okay. So, okay. I was just worried about the total memory complexity of it, but I completely admit, I mean, I just sort of like took that from something that Jonathan once said about not loading everything, but maybe I was just wrong about it. How many utterances? Yeah, no, yeah. 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 So what we have is we would have a word, like we would have words with some priority levels, and that would basically be it already, because even the selection would the summaries automatically feed from just how prioritized an individual word or how prioritized an individual utterance is, or are the summaries sort of refined from that and made by a machine to make sentences and stuff, or are they just sort of taking out the words of the highest priority and then the words of the second highest priority? And yeah, okay. Are we doing it on the whole thing on the utterance level, or are we doing it on word level, like the information density calculation? I think we have start and end times for words actually, but it's yeah, but it might sound crazy in the player. We should really, maybe we can do that together at some point today, that we check out how the player works. But there's maybe some merit in altogether doing it on an utterance level in the end. So. Well, but also about the displays. I mean, the displays in the text body, in the latest draft that we had, sort of we came up with the idea that it isn't displaying utterance for utterance, but it's also displaying a summarized version, in you know, like below the graph, the part. Maybe. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's just like there's like audio skimming and there's displayed skimming. Yeah. Maybe there's some merit of going altogether for utterance level and not even bother to calculate. I mean, if you have to do it internally, then you can do it, but maybe like not even store the importance levels for individual words and just sort of rank utterances as a whole. Yeah. Because it might be better skimming and less memory required at the same time. And I mean, if you know how to do it for individual words, then you can just, in the worst case, if you can't find anything else, just sort of make the mean of the words over the utterance. You know what I mean? What's the smallest chunk at the moment you're thinking of assigning an importance measure to? Is it a word or is it an utterance? So we're thinking of like maybe just storing it on a per utterance level, because it's less stuff to store probably for Dave in the audio playing, and for in the display it's probably better if you have whole utterances. Then I don't know, like what it's like if you just take single words out of utterances, that probably doesn't make any sense at all, whereas if you just show important utterances but the utterance as a whole, it makes more sense. So it doesn't actually make a difference for your algorithm, because it just means that if you're working on a word level, then we just mean it over the utterance. They are on. Oh, so that's good anyway, then, yeah, because that makes it a lot easier than to put it on an utterance level. Oh yeah, no, I mean, like how Jasmine does it internally, I don't know, but it's probably, yeah, you probably have to work on word levels for importance, but there should be ways of easily going from a word level to an utterance level. Okay. Or we do a pre-filtering of sort of the whole thing, sort of like, but that, like, the problem with that is it's easy to do in the text level, but that would mean it would still play the in your audio unless we sort of also store what pieces we cut out for the audio. Yeah. I think before we can, like, answer that specific question, how we deal with that, it's probably good for us to look at what the audio player is capable of doing. Yes. So what do you mean by buffering? Like, you think directly feeding. Yeah, but not store it on the hard disk and then load it in, but load it indirectly from memory. That's probably a stream if it exists in Java. It would be probably some binary stream going in of some type. Okay, yeah. Okay, so I mean, so that means that there's probably, even if you go on a per utterance level, there's still some merit on within utterances cutting out stuff which clearly isn't relevant at all, and that maybe also for the audio we'd have to do. So let's say we play the whole phrase, but then in addition to that, we have some information that says minus that part or something. That's okay, that we can do. Yeah, maybe even, I mean, that's sort of, that depends on how advanced we get. If maybe if we realize that there's massive differences in gain or in something, you can probably just make some simple normalization, but that really depends on how much time we have and how much it's necessary. Yeah, if like I don't know anything about audio and I have never seen the player, so if you find that the player accepts some input from memory and if it's easy to do, then I guess that's fairly doable. So but that means in the general structure we're actually quite lucky. So we load into memory for the whole series of meetings, just the utterances and rankings for the utterances. And some information probably that says, well, I guess that goes with the utterance, who's speaking? Because then we can also do the display about who's speaking. Yeah. But I'm still confused because I thought like that's just what Jonathan said that we can't do, like load a massive document of that size. The other hand. The other hand, I mean, it shouldn't be like, should be like 50 megabyte in RAM or something. It shouldn't be massive, should it? Actually, 50, 100 megabyte is quite big in RAM. Just thinking, what's this sim. So. We do get an error message with the project if we load everything into the project with all the data they load. So we know that doesn't work. So our hope is essentially that we load less into it. What's this lazy loading thing? Somebody explain lazy loading to me. Okay. So that is that only by type of file? Like if the same thing is in different files, would it then maybe like you know, if utterances are split over 3 or 10 or 100 different files, is then a chance maybe that it doesn't try to load them all into memory at the same time, but just. So why does it fail then in the first place? Then it shouldn't ever fail because then it should never. Yeah, but it fails right when you load it, right? The NIDE XML kit. So that's interesting. Let's check that out. I'll probably ask Jonathan about it. So alternatively, if we realize that we can't do the whole thing in one go, we could probably just process some sort of metadata, you know what I mean? Like sort of for the whole series, chunks representing the individual meetings or some like something that represents the whole series in a structure very similar to the structure in which we represent individual meetings, but with data sort of always combined from the whole series. So instead of having a single utterance that we display, we'd probably be like, that would be representing a whole topic, a segment in a meeting. And sort of so that w using the same data. Well, in a sense, I'm thinking of in a sense of like creating a virtual meeting out of the whole meeting series, sort of. Yeah, sort of like offline, create a virtual meeting, which basically treats the meeting series as if it was a meeting, and treats the individual meetings within the series as if they were segments, and treats the individual segments within meetings as if they were utterances. You know, so it just so we shifted one level up. And in that way, we could probably use the same algorithm and just like make like one or two ifs that say, okay, if you are on a whole document, a whole series level, and that was a double click, then don't just go into that segment, but load a new file or something like it. But in general, use the same algorithm. That would be an alternative if we can't actually load the whole thing. And because also, like, even if we maybe this whole like maybe I'm worrying too much about the whole series in one thing display, because actually, I mean, probably users wouldn't view that one too often. Yeah, but I'm still worried. Like, for example, for the display, if you want to display like for the whole series the information density levels based on and the only granularity you have is individual utterances. That means you have to go through every single utterance in a series of 70 hours of meetings. Yeah, and if you make that structurally very similar to like one level down, like the way how we store individual utterances and stuff, then maybe we can more or less use the same code and just make a few ifs and stuff. So but still, so in general, we having utterances, and they have a score, and that's as much as we really need, and they also have a time information, of course. And a speaker information, yeah. Yeah, so an information which topic they are in, yeah. And probably separate to that an information about the different topics, like that. Yeah. So the skimming can work on that, because the skimming just sort of sorts the utterances and puts as many in as it needs. Yeah, it'll play them in some order in which they were set, because otherwise it's gonna be more entertaining. But that's enough data for the skimming, and the searching. So what the searching does is the searching leaves the whole framework, goes to the SQL database, and gets like basically in the end gets just a time marker for where that is, like that utterance that we're concerned with, and then we have to find. I'm sure there's some way in Knight XML to just say set position to that time mark, and then it shifts the whole frame and it alerts every single element of the display, and the display updates. Yeah, that we can just yeah. But so if something so yeah. So if in that tree display somebody clicks on something, yeah, and then you sort of feed the timestamp to the Knight XML central manager, and that central manager alerts everything that's there, like alerts the skim, like the audio display, alerts the text display, alerts the visual display, and says we have a new time frame, and then they all sort of do their update routines with respect to the current level of zoom, so how much they display, and starting position at where the, or maybe the mid position of it, I don't know, like if you start where the thing was found, or if that thing were was found is in the middle of the part that we display, that I don't know, but that we can decide about. But in general, sort of, it's the same thing if, like, whether you play and it moves forward, or whether you jump to a position through search, it's essentially, for all the window handling, it's the same event. It's only that the event gets triggered by the search routine, which sort of pushes it into Knight XML and says, please go there now. Why do we have to do it in memory? That stuff's. I mean, like, the information is coming from offline. So we don't even have to change the utterance document, right? Because the whole way, like, the whole beauty of the Knight XML is that it ties together lots of different files, so we can just create an additional XML file, which for every utterance, like, the utterances have IDs, I presume, some references. So we tie just a very short XML file, which it's the only information it has. It has whatever, a number for the weight, for the information density, and we just tie that to the existing utterances and tie them to the existing speaker changes. Well, otherwise we'd probably have to go over and like add some integer that we just increment from top to bottom, sort of to every utterance as an ID of some type, or try to understand how Knight XML IDs work, and maybe there's some special rules we have to follow when we use these IDs. At some Yeah, the girls said the utterances themselves are not numbered at the moment. Okay. 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 Yeah. So I guess that would be solvable if not. Sorry? Is that a board marker pen, actually? That's just so, like, to make a list of all this stuff, or we probably can, somebody can do it in paper. With all these fancy pens. So the stuff we have utterances and speakers and weights for utterances. So for every utterance, sort of like the utterance has a speaker and a weight which is coming from outside, or which is tied to it, and there is segments which Oh, so sorry, topic segments I meant, like they're a super unit. So the utterances are tied to topic segments. And if the timestamps are on a word level, then we somehow have to extract timestamps for utterances where they start. What segments now? Okay. Is that the same as utterance? Is that the same as utterance? Is that So that's but that's one segment, or is that two segments then? Okay. Okay, so but generally utterances is that which we just called sorry, segments is that which we just called utterances now. Like it's this, it's sort of like one person's contribution at a time sort of thingy dingy. Okay, so yeah, so we have those and then we have some field somewhere else which has topics. Yeah, and the topics basically they're just an ID, probably with a start time or something and the utterance is reference to those topics, I guess. So the topics don't contain any redundant thing of like showing the whole topic again, but they just sort of say a number and where they start and where they finish, and the utterances then say which topic they belong to. Yeah, no, but I was thinking of the topic segmentation now, and f for that there would only be one, right? Because it's sort of like it's just a time window. Yeah. So if this lazy loading works, then this should definitely fit into, I mean, not memory then, because it wouldn't all be in memory at the same time. So if you just have sort of that information, like a long list of all the utterances slash segments, and like shorter, smaller lists which give weight to them. And even though probably if there's a lot of overhead in having two different files, we can probably merge the weights into it offline. You know what I mean? Like if there's a lot of bureaucracy involved with having two different trees and where the one ties to the other because the one has to wait for the other, then it's probably quicker to just. Yeah, I thought that was the whole beauty that like you can just make a new XML file and sort of tie that to the other and it to. Oh yeah, so no, I didn't mean tree, no, I meant just like handling two different files internally, sort of. I was just thinking, you know, like if the overhead for having the same amount of data coming from two files instead of from one file is massive, then it would probably be for us easy to just like offline put the weight into the file that has the segments. Yeah, segments slash utterances already, but that we can figure out. I mean, if it's going horrendously wrong. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, we'd be completely using like the whole infrastructure and basically just, I mean, the main difference really between our project and theirs really is that we load a different part of the data, but otherwise we're doing it the same way that they are doing it. So we're sort of running different types of queries on it. We, in a sense, I think we are running queries. It's not just about what we load and what we don't load, but we are l running queries in the sense that we dynamically select by weights, don't we? Then we have to check how fast that is, like to say, give us all the ones that, whether that works with their query language, whether that's too many results, and whether we should. You know, if because if it let's say, I mean, if their query language is strange and if it would return 10 million results and it can't handle it, then we can just write our individual components in the way that they know what the threshold is, so they still get all the data and just they internally say, oh no, this is less than 3 and I'm not going to display it or something. Yeah, no, I'm just thinking for this whole thing of like a different level, sort of cutting out different pieces, whether we do that through a query where we say, give us everything that's above this and this weight, or whether we s keep the same infrastructure, but every individual module, like the player and the display, say, like they still get sort of all the different utterances, all the different pieces, but they say, oh, this piece I leave out because it's below the current threshold level. When do we need the one for the meet? Yeah, I guess for the so when we have the display where we display the whole series, then if we have for the individual topic segments within the meetings, if we have ready calculator meshes, then we don't have to sort of extract that data from the individual utterances. Yeah, and that's also fairly easy to store along with our segments, isn't it? For the segments, are we extracting some type of title for them that we craft with some fancy algorithm or manually? Are we just taking the single most highly valued keyword utterance for the segment heading? It's probably like in the end, probably it wouldn't be the best thing if it's just the most highly ranked phrase or keyword, because like for example for an introduction that would most definitely not be anything that has any title anywhere similar to introduction or something. Also like for this part, maybe if we go over it with named entity in the end, if one of the people doing DIL has some named entity code to spare, and just like at least for finding topics, titles for segments, just take a named entity which has a really high, what's it called, DFIDF, whatever, because you'd probably be quite likely if they're talking about a conference or a person that would be a named entity which is very highly frequented in that part. Yeah, he said they're quite sparse, so that basically was don't bother basing too much of your general calculation on it, but like especially if they're sparse, probably individual named entities which describe what a segment is about would probably be quite good. Like if there's some name of some conference, they could probably say that name of the conference quite often, even though he's right that they make indirect references to it. Anyway, sorry. So you're doing that on a per word level? Okay. Okay. Okay, cool. I was just wondering where you had the corpus from at the moment. So it seems that the data structure isn't a big problem, and that basically, we don't have to have all these massive discussions of how we exactly interact with the data structure, because most of our work isn't done with that data structure in memory in the browser, but it's just done offline and everyone can represent it any way they want as long as they sort of store it in a useful XML representation in the end. So, like, yeah, that would mean understanding the Knight XML sort of format in a lot more detail. I think we should just have a long session in a computer room together, and like now that we know a bit more what we want, take a closer look at Knight XML. Good. Yeah, I haven't looked at this stuff much at all. Who's sort of doing the central coordination of the browser application, or like but also like all these elements like the loading and integration and like handling the data loading and stuff. I'm sort of like, I think I'll take over the display just because I've started with a bit and found it doable. So somebody should sort of be the one person who understands most about what's centrally going on with the project, like with the browser as a whole, and where the data comes in and. Any volunteers? It's also a complicated one. I know, I guess we can do it like several people together. It's probably just those people have to work together a lot and very closely and just make sure that they always understand what the other one is doing. Yeah, or ready-made versions of them for that matter, and yeah, but I think actually, like at the moment, the integration comes first. I mean, it's sort of at the moment, the building the browser comes first, and then only comes the creating new sophisticated data chunks, because that's sort of the whole thing about having a prototype system, which is more or less working on chunk data. But at least we have the framework in which we can then test everything and look at everything. Because before we have that, it's going to be very difficult for anyone to really see how much the work that they're doing is making sense, because you just, well, I guess you can see something from the data that you have in your individual XML files that you create, but it would be nice to have some basic system which just displays some stuff. Or just adapt like there, like just sort of go from their system and adapt it piece for piece and see how we could arrange, like adapt that to our system. Does anyone want to like just sit with me and like play for 3 hours with Night XML at some point? I wouldn't like to be, 'cause I'd like to go to the gym. I'm theoretically free, but if there's any time, you have nothing, no free time on Wednesday? Nine till 12 and then nothing. You have for you. Anytime Wednesday afternoon, I'd be cool, I think. Yeah, or Forest Hill, whatever one's easy to discuss stuff, I don't know. I'm not biased. Okay. What time do you want to do? Okay, so I'll just meet you in 18 in the afternoon. I guess at the moment nobody critically depends on like the Night XML stuff working right now, right? Like at the moment you can all do your stuff, and I can do my LSA stuff, and I can even do the display to a vast degree without actually having the supplying framework working. So it's not that crucial. Yeah, actually, I need the raw text as well. Yeah, I was more thinking of the sort of the whole browser framework as a running program now. Yeah, I think we all need the raw text in different flavors, don't we? number within the XML context. Are they spoken numbers? Like, do they look like they're utterances,
yeah.
numbers? There's the number task, isn't there? That's part of the whole thing. Okay. Yeah, we have to probably cut that out anyway for our project. I don't know. It's probably gonna screw up a lot of our data otherwise. Not sure if it what it does to document. It would probably make the yeah, if you have segments for that, probably the okay. I'm just thinking like it probably like the LSA would perform quite well on it. It would probably find another number task quite easily, seeing that it's a constrained vocabulary with a high co-occurrence of the same 9 words. So that 10 words. Yeah. I think it's also something that they set the numbers in order, right? Yeah, I think it sounded like they wanted to check out how well they were doing with overlapping and stuff, because basically it's like they're reading them at different speeds, but you know in which order they are set? Anyway. Ixie had some reasons for doing it. I must have been pissed off saying like numbers at the end of every meeting. Dave, if you had, or actually for just minutes, well, if you're doing IDFs or whatever you call your frequencies, I always mix up the name, you need some dictionary for that at some point, though. Like, you need to have some representation of a word as not that specific occurrence of that word token, but of a given word form, because you're making counts for word forms, right? Yeah, so we should work together on that, because I need a dictionary as well. Didn't you say that yeah, I'm just wondering for the whole thing. Who was it of you two who said that there's some program which spits out a dictionary, probably with frequencies? Okay. Is anyone of you for the document frequency or over total frequency, you gonna have total frequencies of words then with that, right? Like over the whole corpus, sort of, or using which tool are you talking about? Be careful with that. Like, my experience with the British National Corpus was that there's far more word types than you ever think, because anything that's sort of unusual generally is a new word type, like any typo or any strange thing where they put two words together, and also any number is a word type of its own, so you can easily end up with hundreds of thousands of words when you didn't expect them. So generally, dictionaries can grow bigger than you think they do. Well, you can probably pre-filter like with regular expressions, even just saying if it consists of only digits, then skip it, or even if it consists any special characters, then skip it, because it's probably something with a dot in between, which is usually not something you want to have. And
so
Yes. What I did for my project, I just ignored the 100 most frequent words because they actually end up all being articles and everything and stuff. So we need, like, several of us need a dictionary. Am I the only one who needs it with frequencies? Am I the only one who needs it with frequencies or frequencies? Yeah. Well, I guess as soon as we have the raw text, we can probably just start with a Java hash map and like just hash map over it and see how far we get. I mean, you can probably on a machine with a few hundred megabyte RAM, you can go quite far. You can run it on Beefy, so even if it goes wrong and even if it has a million words, be oh yeah, burning it on a like we should be able to burn the whole corpus, just the ex Ah, see, I asked support about that 2 days ago. In the informatics building, the sorry, in Appleton Tower 5, the ones closest, the two machines closest to the support office. So I presume. Oh wait, I have the exact email. I think he's talking about sort of the ones that. Yeah, if you enter the big room in the right-hand corner, I think. The thing is. Like, you can only burn from the local file system. So, if it's from. Well, actually, I think if it's mounted, you can directly burn from there. But the problem is, I have my data on Beefy, and so I have to get it into the local temp directory and burn it from there. But you can burn from there. Oh, we looked that up, and I forgot. We looked that up, and I forgot. Yeah, no, we should be able to get it. I don't think it was, I don't think it was a gigabyte. See, I would offer you to get it on this one and then like copy it. But you know what I figured out? I'm quicker downloading over broadband to my computer than using this hard disk. There's something strange about the way how they access the hard disk, how they mount it, which is unfortunate. What operating system do you have? Okay. What connection do you have at home? Yeah, so if any one of us gets it, we can then just use an ex. Yeah, burn it to CD or, yeah, put it on hard disk, whatever. Question is if you're not quicker, if you. Because you should get massive compression out of that, like 50% or something with a good algorithm. So if you could compress it and just put it into a temp directory, like. The temps usually have a gigabyte free or two. The temps, yeah. Like, I mean, there's no guarantee that anything stays there, but overnight it'll stay. And I think the temps usually have. Yeah, but that would have to be the temp directory of the machine you can SSH into directly off SSH. Yeah, they probably hate you for doing it, but they'd like you more if you SSH into another computer, compress it there, and then sort of copy it into the gateway machine. They have if you SSH, you know, if you SSH in, they have this big warning about doing nothing at all in the gateway machine. Yeah. To your home machine. I haven't figured out how to tunnel through the gateway into another machine yet. It's not easy, definitely. That's why I end up sort of copying stuff into the temp directory at the gateway machine. Sorry if this is boring everybody else. This is just details on how to get stuff home from. We can probably just look at that together when we're meeting. Well, yeah. As soon as somebody gives me the raw text of the whole thing, I can probably just implement like a 5-line Java hash table frequency dictionary builder and see. Did you not say frequencies of words in the whole? Sorry, did I? So you yeah, you'd have to count it yourself, yeah. Oh, you don't want to have different counts for each chunk, but just like sort of for something from all chunks. Oh yeah, no, that's yeah. So once I write an al like w if I write like an algorithm which does a hash table dictionary with frequency from a raw text, then the raw text can be anything. So how far are we? How far are you getting raw text out of it, do you think? Okay, well that's good because for the dictionary the order doesn't make a difference, does it? So yeah, so I'll get that from you and I'll write a hash table which goes over that and creates a dictionary file. So for the dictionary, is it okay if I do whatever word blank frequency or something? Just could everybody sort of start from that? I mean, I guess we can. Yeah, I need frequency as well. Well, I think we might have a lot in common what we calculate, because I, for my latent semantic analysis, need like counts of words within a document, within a segment, actually, within a topic segment. Can I convert these probabilities back into frequencies? Okay. Oh, so that's what Rainbow does, because that's what LSA builds on. Like it builds a document by frequency matrix. So I can probably get that, even though. But I already have my code to build it up myself. I don't bother. I have my code already. Yeah. So Dave, you said you need the frequency counts actually for. Per document, but you say not for the whole thing. It more and more appears to me that if we scrap the notion of the meeting as an individual thing and sort of see meetings as topic segments and have sort of like hierarchical topic segmentation instead, then it's like a more coherent framework. Wait, are we using this for the weighting in the end now, this measure you're calculating? Because if we're doing like I think for the information density we should calculate it on the lowest level, not on the highest, but because yeah, but don't you have to like go sort of like for in a document versus the whole thing? Isn't that how it works, that you look at. I don't think that's a good idea, because isn't it like that we expect that to change over with the different topic segments more? That they're talking about something different in each different topic segment. Because that's what relative term frequency is about, that like in some context they're talking more about a certain word than in general. So that would more be the topic segments then. I don't know. Yeah. 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 So I'm just wondering if there's ways to abandon the whole concept of meetings and sort of which is not really treating separate meetings as too much of a separate entity, but on an algorithmic level, whether there's some way to just represent meetings as topics. That's not really what I meant, but I think I have to think more about what I meant. I'm confused about everything. Yeah. I'm not so concerned about a meeting plus something else. I'm more talking about like yeah, the keeping the same algorithm and the same way of handling it, and just saying like just this topic here happens to be like a whole meeting and it has sort of subtopics, such as that sort of topic is a hierarchical concept. Where like a topic where there can be super topics and topics, and the super topics are in the end what the meetings are, but in general at some level super topics are treated like topics. Not really sure what I want. So sorry, describe that again.
As long as when you're working with utterances, you go for all the leaves. Like, then if you need something next up, so like a topic segment, you go to here. But if you're looking at, say, this one, so it only went like this, right? So you, it's same, you'd start with the leaves and you go, oh, I want the topic segment, so I go one layer up. See? And then if you're working with just a topic segment in there, it's the only thing you have to worry about. your algorithm respects that, then we can just process any arbitrary XML file with whatever hierarchical structure we want.
So that would be the series as a whole, that would be sort of
meetings,
yeah. Yeah, I'm a bit brain damaged at the moment, but I think I'll just sit together with you again and go through it again.
So I think as long as you build an algorithm that respects whatever structure's in the file, rather than imposing its own structure.
So is this and this structurally then always identical?
Well, not
so that we can that we can treat it with the same algorithm or? Yeah, I'm also not sure how we can go from bottom up. I've always thought it's like more that, oh, whatever, I can't think of it at the moment. Probably this is all too complicated worrying about that at that moment anymore. Now, have we decided anything? Are we doing anything? Wednesday we are meeting and looking at their implementation in some more detail to actually understand what's going on. Yeah, two things from their stuff just to make sure that we are like understand it enough to modify it. Yeah, how would we do that? By just making like it read write for everyone. Okay, who has most free space on there? Same here. Well, alternatively, we can probably just make another directory on the beefy scratch space. I mean. That's where I'm having gigabytes and gigabytes of stuff at the moment. No. No. Yeah. But I think if he sends to support, he'd probably be in a better position. Yeah. I think he said yes to that. I think that was like in when we were still in the seminar room. I asked that once, or like ask, is it possible to get it off? And nobody said, like people were discussing about the technical practicalities, but nobody said anything about being allowed to or not allowed to. I mean, we have access to it here, and I guess it probably means that we can't give it to anybody else, but if they give us access to it here, sitting on a DICE machine, then there shouldn't be a reason why we shouldn't be able to use it on a laptop. I personally don't have too many friends who would be too keen on getting it anyway. I have this really excited pirate copied thing. It's annotated meeting data.
Change to
Wait. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. What I just realized, we should really keep different series completely separate for virtually all purposes. Just let's be careful about that, because like the Ixie corpus isn't one meeting series, it's several meeting series with different people meeting for completely different things. For each meeting. Okay, but like let's just be careful that whatever we sort of we merge together, that like at the highest level of merging, it's not the whole Ixie corpus but individual series. I think we might actually, I think it's probably be somewhere like well or something like it. I think we might just get away with for the whole project just like looking at only one series and just doing within one series. I mean, you can do everything you want in one series. Oh yeah, let's take that. Is the data always clearly split up by different series? Or like, is it easy to just pick one? Okay. 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 So at every level, everyone has to be careful to really just take, even if at the highest level, just take stuff from one series and not merge stuff from different series together, because that would probably be just majorly messy. Yeah, so like if even if you make one single text file which has the whole corpus, sort of our corpus, that would still be from one series only. But what you're producing at the moment is like individual text files that sort of have the raw text for a whole a meeting as a whole, or Yeah. So is anybody creating a real raw text thing at the moment, like which is just the words? Yeah, 'cause that's what I'm gonna need as well. But if they are aren't like so it's not an n times just for the file, like is it just the first and the last line, or is it for every single thing in? So what do you mean by just not print out that? Okay. If you're into it, can you make a text file which just like makes just the words? Okay. Do you want it straight flowing? Because I would need something that marks the end of is yours segmented by topic standard? Like, is there any information that you have to the topic to the automatic topic segmentation? Then I need something different later anyway. Okay, but for now, if you. Okay. You're gonna put that as an output of yours, the segmentation. Okay, so for now, can you create like sort of just a dump which is pure text, just pure text, so that I can get a dictionary and you can work on that for your topic segmentation? And. For the series. But I can also deal with separate files. I mean, I can just write the algorithm that it loads all files in a directory or something. But I mean, if you can put it in one single mega file, that would be quite useful for me. Even though for you, wouldn't it be easier if you had different files? Because then you sort of know, like. Yeah. So give me different files as long as like if you could name them in a way that is easy to enumerate over them, like whatever 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or something, or just anything that I can. Yeah. Is it something that's easily like to enumerate over? Is it some some ordered pattern. Okay, cool. Okay, cool. Yeah. In the right order. It's the wish list. Orders. When do you think you'll have like a primitive segmentation by some ready-made topic segmentation by some ready-made tool ready? Okay. Okay, cool. 'Cause I'll need that then when it's done. Okay. What's 9 MB? The That sounds quite reasonable. That's nine characters over. Okay. 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 That is for. Are we picking one particular series at the moment, or? Yeah, I guess we can probably process the data for all different series and then check which series is the best for the presentation. It sounds quite reasonable, 9 MB. I mean, if you think if it's roughly 1 million words and 9 characters per word sounds realistic. Yeah. Yes, I'm gonna build a dictionary then from that. Like just a list of the words and maybe a list of the words with the frequencies or a list of the words sorted alphabetically or numerically. What does anyone want? Is there any wishes for dictionaries? So I'll create a dictionary. At the structure, yeah. And then the actual file we can probably like copy from your home directory or something like it. Yeah, but I'm saying for the whole thing in the end, and like the big thing we probably shouldn't do by email. Yeah. Oh, from the time I get the file, I can do that in an afternoon, the next sort of the next morning. Oh, you mean how long processing time it takes? It's a bog standard algorithm. I've written it for DIL just in half an hour or something similar. It's just you put them in a hash table and say, well, if it exists already in the hash table, then you increase the count by one. And I probably implement some filter for filtering out numbers or something. Really? How do you do that? Okay, well, I don't know any Perl. I mean, if anyone wants to do a Perl script for that does it nicely. I have no problem with that. But I think I have the Java code virtually ready because for DIL I wrote something very similar. Like for DIL I wrote something that counts the different occurrences of all the tags. Sorry? The hash table. I've never serialized anything. Wouldn't that be absolutely massive, though? And then write the serialization to a file. So you want like a file which is the serialization of a hash table. I'll check if I understand how it works. I mean, otherwise I can give you the code for loading a dictionary. It's just it's sort of it's a line break separated file, you know. Yeah. Yeah, I'll see if I understand how to serialize. There's a serialize command, so that gives me 1 mega mother of a s Yeah, but do they automatically write to the file? Anyway, I'll figure that out. We don't have to. Yeah, is that pretty much it? So Dave and me look at how Night XML works, and we're I'll build a dictionary as soon as I get the text. And yeah, so that. When do we have to meet again then with this? How are we going to do a demonstrator next week? My God. No, not demonstrator, but like, didn't he say that? Or didn't we sort of agree that it would be useful to have a demonstrator of it, like some primitive thing working next week? That's got to be very prototype. Oh, well, let's go. I feel like hanging mid-air and not really like finding a point where you can get your teeth into it and start working properly. And so it's all so fuzzy though. Yeah, but at the moment it's also an implementational level, like with the data structures. I'm just like over these vague ideas of some trees. I'm Yeah. It's just we are halfway through the project timetable. That's what just freaks me out.
I haven't. No, that was when I did the baseline system. I don't understand machine learning. I've done 4 years of AI, staying clear of machine learning, which is quite a feat in itself. I've done everything else. I've done every form of computational linguistics, genetic algorithms, neural networks, like just.
Neural networks.
Yeah, but like nothing that has rules. Like I don't like rules in any aspect of life, and I don't like them in code either. So, which is really bad. Honestly.